17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, November 23rd, 2014. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, and amongst our top stories this evening, as the purging within the ruling ZANU-PF party continues ahead of the party's National Congress to be held in early December, the faction that manages to accredit more delegates prior to the event is likely to carry the day, say independent analysts.
For all of them that have been voted out, it's almost the same language, been accused of spending factionalism, but it's just a political strategy to make sure that they don't actually go to Congress.
Zimbabwe will join the international community in celebrating the United Nations International Day to End Violence Against Women, November 25. Zimbabwe Doctors for Human Rights Chairman Dr. Rutendo Bonde called on women facing physical abuse to report the matter to the police.
Physical abuse, or if it is any kind of sexual assault or any form of rape, we would then consider giving prophylaxis against HIV and also unplanned pregnancy.
And Harare City Council Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni continued his call on Harare residents to avoid dumping litter in the city's drainage system, as this may lead to clogging and floods.
We still have a huge mindset problem. The litter is not coming from heaven, it's coming from the very residents of this city.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. As the purging within the ruling ZANU-PF party continues ahead of the party's National Congress, December 2nd to the 7th, the faction that manages to register more delegates is likely to carry the day, say independent analysts. There are allegedly two factions, one allegedly led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru and another by Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. Accreditation of provincial delegates for the National Congress is allegedly marred by gross irregularities in some provinces. Studio 7's Jonga Kanjemiri speaks to independent analyst Charles Mangongera on the issue.
I think, Jonga, this is now high-stakes politics. I think that the major political contenders are trying to make sure that they leave no stone unturned as they prepare to go to this Congress. We know that there are various options that the key gladiators are playing around with. We know that, for instance, the president and those who are supporting him are thinking about amending the constitution so that the two vice presidents of the party are actually appointed by the president. But whether that will see the light of the day, I think, is another question. And that's where they are trying to make sure that if there is an election that's going to happen at Congress, then they make sure that the delegates that are there are their supporters. And each camp is trying to ensure that their supporters become the bona fide members who are going to be accredited for this Congress.
Looking at the vote of no confidence passed on almost all the provincial chairmen in the country, what does this show with regards to the support that the alleged faction led by Ms. Mujuru commands?
Well, it's very clear from the names of the people that have been suspended. I mean, if you look at the chairperson, you're looking at, you know, more than seven of them that had been suspended. It shows that she had clearly captured the major organs and structures of the party. If you look at the people, you know, it's the who is who of ZANU. It's the creme de la creme of ZANU-PF. But, you know, what's being demonstrated now is that sometimes hard politics takes precedence over ideal politics. I think that the Mujuru camp was concentrating on ideal politics, where they were thinking that, you know, constitutions, rules of the game, procedures were going to be determining how things would be played out. But it's becoming clear that this is hard politics. You know, the constitutional order is being suspended. You know, all of these people who are being booted out, they are being booted out on spurious charges and spurious allegations. If you look at the template that's being used, for all of them that have been booted out, it's almost the same language. You know, you've been accused of spending factionalism, convening meetings, this, that, and the other, which shows that this is no basis on the ground, but it's just a political strategy to make sure that they don't actually go to Congress and that the other camp actually prevails.
Independent political analyst Charles Mangongera in Harare, speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Meanwhile, the allegations of factionalism and infighting within ZANU-PF have sparked questions around ground whether President Robert Mugabe has lost his grip on ruling the party. In part two of our discussion on the unfolding situation in ZANU-PF, Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakaliele asked analyst Paul Chimosha and Professor Tendai Chari if President Mugabe is still a force to reckon with. Professor Chari:
if you rewind to 2004, the suspensions, ministers being fired and so on, and I think this is what is happening at the moment. This is a party which does not have a clear succession policy, and it is natural for people to fight and position themselves so that they take over. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really perturbed by what is happening.
What about you, Mr. Chimosha? Is this characteristic of ZANU-PF being so publicly in disarray?
ZANU-PF is a party that you say, wait until you threaten their power. You see, at the moment they are comfortable, they align themselves at the feeding trough, they fight, they reposition their clan or factions, if you want. The moment that an external force threatens the power of ZANU-PF as an organization, they galvanize so quickly you don't even know what has hit you. And this has happened over and over again in the history of ZANU-PF. So it's not surprising to me that after a landslide like what they had on the 31st of July last year, and also if you look at the absence of an obvious succession plan, even at branch level, never mind the president, that's exactly what happens in organizations. They have to, at some point, find power equilibrium, and this is just natural in my opinion. And I'm not even giving the MDC a snowball's chance in hell that they've got the capability to capitalize on what's happening.
Well, I want to expound on that in a few minutes, but just to stick within ZANU-PF, President Mugabe, do you think he's still holding the party together?
There's no question that Robert Mugabe still rules the roost in ZANU-PF. So for me, people who are writing Robert Mugabe's obituary at the moment, I think they are missing the point.
Mr. Chari, do you agree with that?
I entirely agree with Paul there. I think the suspensions which are taking place were endorsed at a Politburo meeting. If President Mugabe was not in control, those suspensions would not have been ratified by the Politburo. Of course, I know there are a lot of people there who, in their own dreams, would want him not to be in control.
But even as we are saying President Mugabe is in control, the issue of succession, that is a reality that the party has not quite dealt with, isn't it?
There's no question in my mind that ZANU-PF is a party, and particularly Robert Mugabe himself, would have considered the possibility of him dying and leaving a young family needing protection. So, in my opinion, there is a plan we might not know.
Mr. Chari, could it be possible that there is a successor that has been endorsed by President Mugabe?
I think so. President Mugabe has stated that he is very much concerned about divisions in his party. And this is partly perhaps the reason why, according to him, he has remained at the helm of the party and so on. So the successor might not be known publicly, but perhaps there is someone out there that the president has in mind.
Mr. Chimosha, you mentioned earlier, even as ZANU-PF seems to be falling apart, you're saying opposition party is looking on, no chance, referring to the MDC in particular.
You need to understand the political environment you're playing in and what brings you power. And the MDC, under the leadership of Tsvangirai, has failed to understand that there is a difference between politics and democracy. They believe that they've got popular support and hence they should be in power. Mm-hmm. I say, no, that can never be true. ZANU-PF understands power. MDC does not.
Mr. Chari, outside MDC, is this not the appropriate time for an opposition that has any hope for the 2018 elections to start ramping up now?
In Zimbabwe, we have had the problem of thinking that the opposition starts and ends with the Tsvangirai, the MDC, and so on. So looking into the future, I do not see any opposition which is capable of capitalizing on the developments in ZANU-PF because they are equally inept themselves, except the fact that they simply want to grab power. But how they want to grab the power, they don't seem to have a clue at all.
Tendai Chari, media studies lecturer at the University of Venda in South Africa. Also on the panel was Paul Chimosha, an independent political commentator based in South Africa. Both spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakaliele. Tune in tomorrow when the panelists discuss the future of ZANU-PF and opposition parties in Zimbabwe. It's Zimbabwe will join the international community in celebrating the United Nations International Day to End Violence Against Women this coming Tuesday, November 25. The day will mark the start of 16 days of global activism until December 10. UN Women and its partners will hold orange-themed events around the world to raise awareness and show solidarity with survivors of abuse. The color orange has been chosen to symbolize a brighter future without violence against women. UN Women says this year's 16 days of global activism will seek to halt this gross violation of women's human rights that affects at least one in three women and girls worldwide. Zimbabwe Doctors for Human Rights Chairwoman Dr. Rutendo Bonde called on women facing physical abuse to report the matter to the police and to seek medical treatment early.
As medical practitioners, our primary responsibility is to the patient. Depending on the nature of the abuse, for example, if it is physical abuse or if it is any kind of sexual assault or any form of non-consensual sexual penetrative sexual intercourse, commonly known as rape, then of course we would then consider giving prophylaxis against infection, particularly emphasis on HIV and also prophylaxis against unplanned pregnancy. And of course there's a component of psychological trauma which is there, and commonly we do refer clients to other health professionals who are qualified to deal with the psychological trauma and also who are qualified to deal with the social intersects which have to do with abuse.
Zimbabwe Doctors for Human Rights Chairperson Dr. Rutendo Bonde in Harare. Harare City Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni continued his call on Harare residents to avoid dumping litter in the city's drainage system as this may lead to clogging. Manyenyeni says residents should play an active role in stopping dumping to avoid flooding in the central business district as witnessed early last week. Activists, however, argue that residents are being forced to dump waste because the local authority is not collecting refuse. But Manyenyeni says residents have a responsibility to keep the city clean.
The downfall of that one will most likely overwhelm us again, because this is stormwater drains. We are not going to be building new drainage overnight. What we must do is increase our alertness, increase our communication, and also improve on our reaction. Our drain prices cannot be fixed in the next 3 months. That's not going
to
happen.
And then going to another subject, we understand that you have engaged some members of the community in Harare on a cleanup exercise. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The engagement of all manner of stakeholders is an ongoing exercise. My dream is to stop the city for 2 hours every week. We all go on the street, like happens in Kigali. So engagement of combi drivers, engagement of vendors, engagement of anyone who's got a life to lead in the city is an absolute must. Even our vendors, they should operate a small operation vicinity, just deal with your immediate environment, just 5-10 meters away from where you're working. So the message can come in a variety of forms. It can come to a variety of stakeholders and in a variety of involved parties. If it's a city problem, let's share it. Let's fix it together.
So have you already embarked on the exercise? And if so, how has it been received by the stakeholders?
I can't say I'm excited at all by the level of compliance in this whole area. We still have a huge mindset problem. The litter is not coming from heaven. It's coming from the very residents of this city. To me, that's enough to make council very angry. This is money we should not be wasting. This is effort we should not be making. If our residents took their litter to its proper places, we should be worrying about shortage of resources for things that are beyond our control. We should not be worrying about applying resources to problems that we are making ourselves. I don't know how I can make this message loud and clear enough for people of Harare to understand this. People don't litter in the rural areas. They don't litter when they cross the bybridge, but bring them back to their city. This is what they do. This is the mindset we must deal with.
So have you already embarked on this program to perhaps bring awareness that everybody has the responsibility to keep the city clean?
Council has done work, EMA has done work, churches have done work, city groups have done work. As far as I'm concerned, the response has not been good enough. We need something more radical. This message cannot be ignored for too long.
Harare City Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni in Harare. The International AIDS Council says the country will have a chance to showcase some of its successes in the fight against HIV/AIDS when other African Union states visit Zimbabwe to mark the International AIDS Day on December 1. The African Union will this year mark the day in Zimbabwe, a move National AIDS Council spokeswoman Madeline Dube says will strengthen their message on fighting new infections in the country and on the continent.
Yeah, the pathfinder in domestic financing in terms of resource mobilization. We have the National AIDS Trust Fund, popularly known as the AIDS Levy, where we as employees of Zimbabwe contribute 3% of our pay as we earn, which goes to this fund. It is this money which, as National AIDS Council, we have been able to do programs. We are the first country in Southern Africa to ensure that we have reduced the infection of HIV and AIDS, and our prevalence rate has gone down as compared to what it was in 1999. It was as high as 33, and it went down to 25%. Then we ended up at 14%.
What theme will the National AIDS Day be running under?
Our theme will be getting to zero in Africa, Africa's responsibility, everyone's responsibility.
That was the National AIDS Council spokeswoman Madeline Dube in Harare, speaking on the gains Zimbabwe has made in combating HIV/AIDS. You're listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by a good friend of mine, Admonish Deda. Admonish, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Tatenda, for having me on your program.
So, of course, people are reeling with the news that President Barack Obama will give reprieve to about 5 million undocumented immigrants here in the United States. What was your view on what Obama decided to do?
I think every immigrant here in America really received that news with relief. As you know, there's a lot of undocumented immigrants here because they're trying to reach for the American dream. So I think it's a welcome relief, especially the youth who come here and try to go to school and get degrees and get good jobs so they can contribute to the U.S. economy and their economy back in Zimbabwe.
And looking at the issue of the youth, there are many different categories in regards to how people end up here in the United States and how they end up becoming illegal or undocumented.
Like you rightly pointed out, there are different categories of youth who come to America. Some come with their parents who actually have a status, and then that status expires and they don't want to go back home. And some would have simply come here maybe for a four-month educational trip, and they said they don't want to go back, they want to live here in America. And that experience is really hard for most people because at the end of the day, you don't have a status, so you can't really get a job. Life is hard because you have to survive without any formal documentation and still be able to put food on the table and be able to have shelter over your head. So for most youth that actually come from Zimbabwe who've been here that I know, who actually have been experiencing this kind of problem, I think it's a very welcome change.
Let's focus on South Africa. Do you think something like this would work in the country?
I actually think it wouldn't work. The basic reason being that South Africa right now, I think it is an unemployment rate of, I think, around 25%. What it basically does is puts pressure on the economy because already South Africans themselves don't even have jobs. So you might find issues of xenophobia and all that recurring because, let's face it, immigrants are really hardworking people and they are really willing to do the kind of jobs that other maybe citizens of the same country would not be willing to do. Because we're looking like around 5 million right now in America. I think South Africa wouldn't be able to do that. It would have a very big impact on the economy. But I see it succeeding in America.
Admonish, I do want to thank you very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
That was Admonish Deda, a Zimbabwean living here in Washington, D.C. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next time. Have a great weekend.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. As the purging within the ruling ZANU-PF party continues ahead of the party's National Congress to be held in early December, the faction that manages to accredit more delegates prior to the event is likely to carry the day, say independent analysts. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, November 23rd, 2014. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Standakile Mhlanga. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.